You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. Today is the day two major releases are coming out, one for baseball, one for football, and I'm going to talk about it in this video. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast and YouTube channel. So today we're going to be talking about two of the biggest releases of the year that are coming out today. The first one we're going to talk about is Top Series 1. So you probably saw some of the rip party, so you probably have gotten a decent idea of what some of these boxes are going to look like. This is probably one of the biggest releases of the year for baseball. It is the start of the new year. Unlike basketball and football, they don't really have a college release for baseball. They did come out with Topps Archive, I think, before Topps Series 1, so there is a product that comes out technically before Series 1, but this is essentially the start of the new year, and I think it's always fun for these products to come out because what you're going to see is that it's, this, like I said, start of the new year. People are going to start getting excited about baseball again. You know, the NFL is over. Obviously, NBA and NHL are still going on, but for baseball, this means that spring training is right around the corner. That means we're going to start to see new rookies kind of come into the fold. There are some pretty big names on this list, and it's sort of something that I expected last year when we saw some players get called up but didn't get their Topps Now rookie cards, which is sort of what I expected. You know, last year was a shortened season for baseball. There were rookies that came up and played in the majors and made their major league debut and got their Topps Now, first Topps Now card, but it had the call-up logo on it instead of the rookie card logo. And that's one of the ways that you can tell whether someone is going to be included in Topps Series 1 or if they're going to be in Topps Update. Now, Topps Update last year wasn't phenomenal. I mean, they had a cool prospect set, and obviously they have some autographs and memorabilia cards in there, stuff like that. But I don't think there was any really huge names that got their first rookie cards. Last year, it was Series 1 and Series 2. That were the big releases. Series 1 having like Bo Bichette. It had Jesus Luzardo, the pitcher from the Athletics. It had Yordan Alvarez. Series 2, obviously, I would say Series 2 is probably the biggest product from last year because of Luis Robert. You know, I think he's one of the biggest names in prospecting, or that isn't technically a prospect anymore. Like, he's a rookie, obviously, because he got his rookie card and he played all of last season. You know, we'll see how he does this season. He's definitely expected to have a big career, like, you know, has a card that actually recently sold in Golden Auctions for $140,000, one of the red Bowman Chrome autographs sold. The red Bowman Chrome autographs are numbered to 5. So in this year's Series 1, it is going to be very similar to 2020 Series 1 with huge names. With huge names being in this product. So, I mean, just to name off a few, you obviously have one of the cover athletes, one of the when they released the new year's worth of designs, he was the athlete that they used. So, Joe Adell, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the Angels this year. You know, Albert Pujols is going into potentially what is his last year. Mike Trout, obviously, going into another year of getting big money. You know, they signed, or not signed, but they have Adell, who made his debut last year, did fine, but I think is probably slated to have a big year. And then Shohei Ohtani, I think, is always a big name for the Angels. That will be very interesting to watch. One of my favorite baseball players right now, because of how dynamic he is, how he plays how he is a hitter and a pitcher. You know, I think eventually they probably will choose one or the other, just because it makes sense. Like, I think in the Japanese league, which is where he came from, there may have been a better opportunity. You know, the talent is good in Japan, and that's why you see a lot of Japanese players coming from that big league over to America. Or you see kind of some players, instead of maybe wanting to go to the minors, they'll go to Japan. But there was probably more of an opportunity because the talent and the competition wasn't as high. It's still it's probably the second biggest and best league other than maybe, I think the Australian Baseball League is another really good one where you're seeing a lot of players come from. I think Didi Gregorius came from that league before coming to the United States to play in the MLB. So I think, you know, the Angels are always a team that I think I'm very interested in. You also have Joey Bart, who is a catching prospect who is sort of the next, you know, the thing that's interesting about catching prospects and catchers in general is it's almost like if we're ranking position players, pitchers, and catchers, catchers are definitely going to be second in that ranking, but, you know, for some reason, catchers don't always hold as much value. Like, you look at Will Smith as an example on the Dodgers. Like, he's a pretty good pitcher, but for some reason, his cards don't hold as much value as maybe some of his other counterparts on the Dodgers. And you even look at a catcher that's on his own team, Buster Posey, probably the best catcher of this generation next to maybe Yadier Molina. I mean, there's tons of great catchers, but I would say Posey is probably the most, has the most awards, has a lot of World Series, I believe won an MVP. So, you know, Joey Bart is going to be the next catcher there. It really is just all going to depend on when Buster Posey decides it's time for him to retire. From the 2019 Bowman set, it was mainly Joey Bart and Wander Franco were the two most important players. Now, we've seen, you know, the Julio Rodriguez come in and kind of step up into that maybe higher position of prospects that were from that 2019 list. But, you know, it definitely was Joey Bart and Wander Franco when you were looking at the top prospects coming out of that product. So another player that I think is going to be really good, I think a young team that I'm very interested in, you know, we've seen them make their way throughout the playoffs. I think they maybe have to add one or two more players to really solidify themselves as a World Series contender. It's going to be the Atlanta Braves with Christian Pache. He's coming up and, you know, he's been, I don't know if he's going to be third fiddle to, you know, Ozzie Albies and, you know, one of the best young players in the league, Ronald Acuna. So I think that's going to be a very interesting player. And, you know, there are so many that I'm not going to name all of the prospects and all of the rookies that are getting their first cards on this list. But another one that I really like is Alec Baum. So he is a prospect coming up through the Philly system. And, you know, I think the Phillies, that the NL East is going to be a very interesting division because of the Braves, because of the Phillies, because of the Mets have made a couple moves this year. I think it's going to be one of the most interesting divisions in the league. So, you know, I'm excited for Series 1. Overall, there's tons of great names. It's a very similar product to last year's Series 1 where, you know, for whatever reason, they held out a ton of prospects. You know, Yordan Alvarez won the 2019 AL Rookie of the Year, and then he doesn't get a rookie card until 2020 Series 1. So that was kind of interesting. You know, I think this list is a very strong list. There's a ton of names on here. I think it'll be interesting to see Series 2 this year as well because, you know, I wonder which players are going to maybe make their debuts in the majors early on in the season and then be kind of eligible to get that card in Series 2. If you look at that prospect list, I think there's a few names of players that could make their way up. I think Wander Franco obviously being the most anticipated. You know, who knows if he'll be making the roster or who knows if he'll be getting called up. But I think Series 2 could also be just as good as Series 1 this year, depending on who gets called up. Because, you know, in 2019, we saw Series 2 was the product that everyone wanted because it had Eloy Jimenez, it had the Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which actually was a short print and had no number. There's also the Tatis rookie, which, I mean, Tatis is blowing up the league right now. He's absolutely one of the best, most anticipated players. And then there was also Alonso. So, you know, if players are starting the roster, because this is the interesting thing, and I've always thought that maybe MLB should think about, or Topps, should think about changing the Series 1 release date and maybe potentially changing it to, like, switching the order, and maybe instead of Series 1 coming out like in February, which January I think was pushed back a little bit because it's typically in January, I'm pretty sure, but moving it back a few months so that way maybe they can kind of switch up exactly how they're doing it. You know, I don't know, that's maybe just one of my suggestions, but like I said, Series 1, it's going to be a phenomenal product. I'm extremely excited to see the rookies coming out of here and to see how some of these rookies do this year. The other big product that is coming out today is going to be Optic Football. So this is one of probably the biggest releases that Panini has all year. Like, if we're looking at, I think the rankings of which products has changed a little bit, and I think some of them are kind of rising, some of them are falling. I think you could put Mosaic into that conversation. I think Select has kind of come up as maybe even second or third, definitely third. You know, if I'm personally ranking the products, it goes Prism number one, I would say Optic number two, Select, and then maybe even Mosaic, and then I would put like Donruss and Hoops for basketball. I believe it's just Score for I forget if there's a football product that's the equivalent to Hoops. I think it's Score. I'm not 100% sure, but either way, I think that Optic has kind of solidified itself. And, you know, I had an interesting conversation with one of my friends on Instagram a while back. So FaZe Cards, I'm not sure if you follow him, but, you know, I was playing Warzone with him one day and we were talking about cards. This was, like, actually probably around this time last year. No, because Warzone hadn't come out yet. But either way, you know, I was asking him, like, why did the, because he had been in cards for a while too, and I was like, why did the Optic Holo, because that was one of the things in the summer of 2019 into 2020 that sort of like blew up and was like a product that it became almost just as popular as the Prism Silver. And people were talking about pop reports and that the pop reports were lower for Optic Holos than they were Prism Silvers, which, you know, for these modern products, I don't think using the low pop reports is really a good idea for if you're trying to invest or collect any of these cards, because what ends up happening, and I think this happened with the 2018 Mbappe World Cup Prism card. When I was first buying them in the summer of 2019, there was only about 250 of them. Now you can see there's about 2,000 of them. Now the pop report there, I think, is still fairly low, but I still think there is a ton of product that's out there. But especially, you know, that's soccer, so pop population it is going to be a little bit lower, but if you're talking football or basketball or even baseball, I think using that population report is not a good idea if you're looking for low population, because what ends up happening, and I think we've seen this a couple times, is like a player, like I would expect Talen Horton Tucker, you'd probably remember him from his preseason debut where he scored like 30 points or whatever LeBron's tweeted about him. He kind of blew up really quickly. And I think what ended up happening was a lot of people are sending their Talen Horton Tucker cards into PSA after that happened. And so, you know, you could have looked at the pop report and say there's only maybe, I don't know, I didn't look into it at the time, but there was probably only like 100 or 200, if that, of his cards that were sent into PSA. And then after he kind of blows up, like 6 months to 9 months later, when people are getting their cards back, that's when you start to see, you know, a huge influx in those populations and in those cards specifically. So I think using those populations probably isn't a great idea now, and that kind of gets me to my point of the Optic Holo. They have, I think, dropped the odds in the Topps box. I'm not 100% sure if they've done that in this box as well, but, you know, the Optic Holo was a card that sort of blew up in a way because, you know, people were using pop reports, and, you know, those pop reports did kind of blow up, like with Lucas and Trey's, but I think overall the production maybe was a little bit lower, and that's another reason why those cards did come out. So, you know, we're obviously past the Super Bowl. Brady won another one. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with a player like Burrow this offseason. Like, do people potentially forget? Like, or is the hype train, like, I've kind of talked about this with the way that the hobby's going and with the way that, you know, sports cards are becoming more popular. Like, are these opportunities that are in the hobby right now or were in the hobby maybe last year, 2 years ago, like the offseason, for example, are those not going to be good opportunities anymore because everybody knows about them? Like, you know, I think there's like a quote or something that everybody uses. It's like, if your neighbor's giving you stock tips, it's too late. Like, if they already know about it, then it's too late. So I think it's the same with the injury. Now, one injury that happened with Ja this year that I think could have been a lot worse, and I think the fact that it wasn't worse actually is what affected his cards more than the injury, because if the injury had got him out for the whole season, for the rest of the season, I think we could have seen a drop in those cards. But I think the fact that, you know, when news came out right away, he was only going to be gone for 3 to 5 weeks. That was when people were like, okay, good. So people weren't really selling the cards themselves. So they weren't like, they weren't nervously selling the cards because they were trying to offload them to put them into some other type of investment. But I think some of these opportunities you're seeing in the off season and injuries, they're not as good as maybe they were in the past. I think we'll see. This will be one of the first cycles where the hobby, I think, and we're going to continue to see this. These cycles we're seeing in the hobby with the growth, these cycles are, it's the first time we're really seeing these cycles with as many people that are in the hobby now. So, you know, maybe it will still be an opportunity. Maybe people will try and sell in the offseason if they don't know. But I would say, for the most part, people are smart enough now that they know that if you're selling in the offseason, you're selling when there isn't as much hype now leading up to the Super Bowl. I think it's also going to be interesting to see the Mahomes and Brady prices for their rookies, because I do think that there is a little bit of a difference there. Like, I think last year when it was Mahomes and Jimmy G, those guards kind of rise, and then it goes into the offseason, and you start to forget about those players. Jimmy G probably more than anybody in that. But then you also did see, like, a little bit of a dip in the Mahomes prices. I guess it'll be interesting to see what happens this year. You know, Mahomes didn't play well in the Super Bowl. I think there was a ton of different reasons for that. I think the offensive line didn't help at all. You know, losing Eric Fisher, who's one of the best offensive linemen in the league in the AFC Championship game, definitely affected the way that line played because they had to switch. I think they said they switched one of the guards to tackle and then one of the other guards to the other guard position and then had to start a new tackle. I forget exactly what it was. Also, Mahomes had a foot injury, which, you know, I'm not going to say that was totally the blame. Like, he was still running around like a madman. It was definitely the offensive line more. But I think what's going to happen this offseason is, you know, Brady wins that championship. Now he's solidified. Like, I don't think there was much of an argument before about if he was the best of all time. I think he was pretty much anointed that as already, but I think now that he's won that seventh, I think there's going to be tons of stuff this offseason that happens. And Mahomes is Mahomes, so I think, you know, you may see a dip in football, but I don't know if we're necessarily going to see as large of a dip. So, you know, with these rookie quarterbacks, I think it's going to be a very interesting offseason. You know, Jordan Love could be an interesting conversation because what happens with Aaron Rodgers? You know, Justin Herbert just won the MVP, won the Offensive Rookie of the Year. You have Deshaun Watson, who potentially could be going to Miami, so then what happens with Tua? You have, a player like a Carson Wentz, who is going to get traded somewhere, so does that affect the potential rookie from this last optic or this last rookie class? And then you also obviously have Burrow. So I think, you know, with his injury, he's supposed to come back before he's supposed to be ready for the start of the season. But, you know, we'll see if that happens. I do hope that does happen. You know, something with Burrow, I was listening to the Mojo Break podcast, and they were actually talking about the autographs in Contenders were live for Burrow. Now, if you've opened up any Contenders football, you've seen that Burrow's autographs have, unfortunately, they are redemptions. Now, from what I heard, the autographs are live and that Burrow just sent in his autographs late. So if you get a redemption, a Burrow redemption, you can send it in and they're going to send it back to you. You're not going to have to wait for him to sign anything, you know, but that's kind of unfortunate. Like, I don't know if that means that he's going to be redemptions in this product as well. I think they pushed back the release of Select Football. So if I had to guess, that's probably because they were, you know, they've been pushing some of these products back a little bit. Like, Hoops got pushed back, Certified got pushed back. I think Absolute was another product that got pushed back for basketball. So Prism, I don't know if that's going to be pushed back or not, but I would expect potentially. There's a potential that it may get pushed back, but I think that could be the reason why Select is getting pushed back, because they got the autos from Burrow and they're going to put them in the packs or however they're going to be distributed. So if you're opening up Contenders, and if you're opening up Contenders and you get a Burrow redemption, you know, that you have the chance to send that right in. I think that's also going to be an interesting, I think if you are buying product and keeping it, I think this year's Contenders would be an interesting one, because I think there are expirations on the redemptions, which I don't think is, I don't like that there are, it doesn't make any sense. Why would there be redemptions? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, but there are, or why are there expiration dates on the redemptions? There are. So I think it's going to be interesting to see when we get to a point where those Burrow redemptions are about to expire. Does that product go up in value? I think that's what Mojo Break was talking about, and I think that is an opportunity. Maybe right now you can't pull any Burrow autographs, so I think it's going to be interesting. So I don't know if, you know, Optic is going to be the same case or what happens there, but there is a chance that that happens. So, you know, you may see another cycle of the product being priced how it is. And then once it gets to the point where the expiration dates on the redemptions are kind of coming up, you may see a spike in those, you know, but it also kind of depends on how well Burrow plays. So I think it's all kind of, it's definitely an interesting conversation and an interesting day for the hobby. And I'm extremely excited that both of these products are coming out. You know, it's a big start of the new year. Obviously, we've had basketball, which had Hoops that came out recently. So that was another exciting one. But, you know, start of this year, that means that spring is right around the corner. That means baseball's right around the corner, and I am extremely excited for that. So I want to thank you for watching this video. If you liked it, make sure you hit the subscribe button and the like button. And if you want to listen to this in a podcast, make sure you go check out Apple Music and Spotify feeds for the new and latest podcasts.